Ladies and gentlemen, this is the villain Marty Sko, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Throwback.
Maniacs, it's Thanksgiving night, and this is the happiest time of year for all the maniacs, brother. You know, me and all my little hulksters, we got a lot of things to be thankful for. Number one, we're thankful for being happy and very healthy. We're thankful for having time to share with our loved ones. We're also thankful that Hulkamania is still the strongest force in the universe. And after the turkey's done, after the blessings are all done, I can tell you what the hulksters mostly happy about. It's Survivor Series time. And I'm thankful for my team of Hulkamaniacs.
I'm thankful because I'm rich and you're not.
I'm thankful for having Damien and the DDT.
You know what we're thankful for?
We don't have to fight each other.
Oh, yeah. I am thankful that I am the only man worthy of being the Macho King.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thankful for the privilege of living right here in the good old U.S. of A.
Tough guy.
I'm thankful I've got that big earthquake on my side.
What I'm thankful for Thanksgiving? For my polka dots.
I'm thankful for the justice I serve.
I'm thankful for wrestling, cutting, and strutting.
I'm thankful for my good looks.
I'm thankful for having the most ravishing body in the WWF.
I'm thankful because I ate Ricky Rude.
I am thankful for being the world's smartest man.
I'm thankful for being absolutely perfect.
Yeah, we're thankful for having sunny stuffing in our turkey tonight!
I'm thankful for spending Thanksgiving with all the members of the Heenan family.
Thanksgiving every day, but especially this day, as the Warriors give me the intention to deliver the pair at Survivor Series, it is going to be a war!
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EM Media.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Episode 488 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Raya, and we are part of the Shining Wizards Network, Rant Entertainment Media, otherwise known as Rant EM Radio, and whatever Jimmy Ferrari is doing. Okay. It's been a while since, actually, Halloween was the last gimmick I did, right? So, hope everybody's doing well. It is Thanksgiving is right upon us, another day or two. And I had an idea, and I figured I'd record. Problem is, though, I think I mentioned this the last episode. The week that my buddy had passed away, I recorded an episode, and I didn't release it. I just re-recorded it. That was a Halloween episode, right? The problem was, the night I did it, I was drinking heavily, and I tried to reset a thumb drive that's been busted. I got a 1 terabyte thumb drive that I use, and it must have got damaged in my travels. And I put it in, and apparently when I clicked on, I have a Mac, so when I clicked on the hard drive, I thought that, you know, when you have to go into like the utilities, I'm not going to explain the whole thing technically, but apparently I thought that, well, my hard drive had copied twice into the computer, and I thought that one of those was the thumb drive, and it wasn't. It was the hard drive, and I erased every single thing I've had on the computer. The time machine gimmick app didn't work for some reason. However, some stuff saved to the cloud. So I did wind up retrieving most of the episodes that I had saved to here. I lost a bunch of stuff. I don't even want to talk about it. It gets me upset. But I got a soundboard back up, and I think this is working. The audio is all messed up because I had all the settings. I had to download all the programs again, and I had to do all this nonsense. So I'm hoping this sounds good. If not, I'm going to have to shit can it. But either way, you're getting an episode. I'll try to do it again because I'm going to be busy the next 2 days. But again, I hope this brings everybody some good wishes, good tidings. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm telling you, I don't want to be like the Debbie Downer guy. I try to be positive every single day, and I'm in a good place. I'm actually on vacation this week, forced vacation. That's another story. I had too much time I had to burn, and they're like, you know what, we're just going to give you a week off, and I'm like, all right, why can't you give me more hours next month, because I have another week off in December. And they said, you know, the company rules is, hospital rules is, you can't burn more than 40 hours a month. And I'm like, oh. And, you know, we're all in the same division, but I'm a subdivision of my department. So we're not field personnel. We're like administration. So you would think that they would, like, adjust the rules a little bit for us, you know, because we're not active members on the road. We're communications, and it's just a big deal. And I understand that the field stuff, because there was one guy, they made the rule for him. He would take a month off, like, every year. But he worked up in the Heights, and that's a busy area in New York City. Whatever. It is what it is. Everything's cool in the gang. I'm going to spend holiday with my parents. Nice and quiet, just me and my parents. My brother, we're going to chill, eat a lot of food, watch some football. And get ready for Survivor Series this weekend. They're doing the War Games, if you will. The War Games. The War Games. And we're going to preview the War Game. Then we'll talk about some Survivor Series matches. And I'm going to have a little bit of a get-together with some current and present and WWE superstars. And they're going to spend some Thanksgiving... I'm going to do some Thanksgiving gimmicks with these guys and girls. Anyway, what else has been going on? I can't really. I want to try. Let me see. I've been watching a little wrestling. Yeah, I mean, I watch the weekly shows, except for I didn't. I watched Raw last night just to confirm who the fifth member was on the main event for Saturday, which is, you know, we all knew Randy Orton was going to be the fifth member on the face team. And ironically, he's the leader. He's been in the most Survivor Series matches. I think he has the most eliminations too. I think it's like 14 or 10 or something like that. But he's like, so Randy Orton's not only is he a legend killer, but he's a legend. The Viper, the man, the myth, the legend. We all knew it wasn't going to be CM Punk. I don't know. I just saw some clips of what else happened this past weekend. Oh, I saw Joey Janela fight Kenta. That was an interesting match for whatever title that Kenta has now in the Indies. I forgot the name of it, but he beat Joey Janela. But Joey Janela took a nice beat, and it was a nice match too. Went like over 30 minutes. I saw that AEW pay-per-view Full Gear. I watched it the next day. I wasn't very impressed. I must tell you, the Texas Death Match was a gore fest between Swerve and Hangman Page, And on top of that, it was more bloodier than Dustin and Cody, I can tell you that. And it was brutal. Like, I sent it to Choppy, asked me for a copy of it, and I sent it to him. I was like, just make sure the boys aren't in the room. And he wrote back, like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's really, 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 really bloody. And gore. Yeah, it was kind of bloody, and I told him, like, just don't, make sure the kids aren't in the room. Yeah, I like the Bucks match against the Golden Jets. That's going to, the Bucks, they're going to come back as heels, probably. Lord knows what they're going to do. I mean, it is what it is, but the ending was annoying my life, you know? I mean, during the show, before the show, MJF got hurt. Bullet Club Gold guys jumped him, sent him to the hospital. So you know the whole thing with the hospital. You know, guys come back with the ambulance. Everybody's done it. Terry Funk has done it. Stone Cold Steve Austin's done it. A lot of wrestlers have taken – Hulk Hogan's done it. A lot of wrestlers go to the hospital and they come back in the ambulance Piper's done it. A lot of guys done it. Then, you know, they come back. Adam Cole steps in and says, I'll fight Jay White. Adam Cole can't fight. He's got a boot on. He's got a broken ankle. So as he's beginning to start the match, MJF comes with the ambulance. He's still injured. He fights the match. Cole had no input on this. It was the way it had no flow. It the ending sucked. It was terrible. I guess Orange Cassidy, he retained. Julia Hart won the women's title. It was okay. It was all right. I mean, it is what it is. I gave it. Rob asked me for a grade. I give it like a B minus or a C plus, like that. I watched. What else did I watch? Oh, the World Tag League. I watched the first night. On Monday morning, I watched it. The second night was today. I didn't watch it yet, but. Excuse me. I'm glad Fale's back, though. I'm glad he's back, and he's got a new partner. That was cool. Lance Archer's in it this year. Minoru Suzuki's teaming up with Blue Justice. That was interesting. Let me jump back to AEW real quick. So Will Ospreay signed. That was the big signee. Let's break this down a little bit. I had nothing else with New Japan because I didn't see anything else. I mean, I watched it, but it was nothing significant. Will Ospreay signs with AEW, and he tells the crowd he's going to fulfill his contract till February with New Japan, and then come in. So they lose Ospreay. Word on the street is Okada wants to come to the States. They already lost Jay White. You know, what's the allure? That's my thing. Like, you know, with Ospreay, it was a safe space because he's been there for like almost 10 years. He wrestles a certain style, and they let him work the indies, but I guess he's done everything he could there, but he's got a stable there. What's going to happen to them? You know, and... Oh, those guys coming over too, and I don't know. I don't know if the Great O'Conn is gonna work out in the States, you know. And I know Jeff Cobb can. Jeff Cobb's a stud, you know. But the junior tag guys, TJP and his partner, like these and Hanare, all these guys are like, you know, they're not States guys, they're New Japan guys. You know. But if Okada leaves and now Ospreay leaves, Naito's getting old, you know. Not that he's old, but he's getting like he's beat up a lot. You know, he's injured. Some of these young boys better step up, man. You know, because it's gonna be, you know, Shingo's still around, but he's up there in age too. Like, you know, these guys, they don't fight the schedule that the guys in the States do, but they take a toll on their body. You know, it's called a spade here. You know, so. Yeah, that kind of ruined me because I've been telling you guys I love Will Ospreay. I really, really do. He's been my favorite wrestler for the last year or two. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to shit on AEW, you know, for 20 minutes. It's not, you know, my feeling about those guys, it's 50-50, either it's good or it's bad. There's no in between. I know the ratings came out for last week when Collision went up against SmackDown. Can I just, couple of things here. The ratings really doesn't reflect the all-around product anymore because there's really no competition. I mean, in theory, you have a competition with one Fed against another Fed, right? In theory, on paper. But let's be honest. The last time two Feds competed, it was about 22 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not, I don't get the whole thing with the, everybody's losing their mind about this. Oh, and they're posting numbers and ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, listen, and SmackDown was a go-home show for Survivor Series. I get that too. And I guess in theory, Collision was the go-home show for Full Gear. Because they did it on Friday instead of Saturday. And they did Rampage right after. He had 3 hours of wrestling on that network too. I can't get caught up in that. I can't. I really, really can't get caught up in that because I don't see why. Even if like the shows were bad, both shows were okay, you know. But I don't see a problem with it. I don't see a problem with it at all. You know, I feel like the internet clickbait marks, they do their thing and they try to bait everybody into like, oh my God, this is a problem and blah, 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 blah. It's not a problem. It really isn't. Oh, they're losing money. Oh, Sting, they brought Flair in and they're going to bring all these other old people in and blah, blah, blah. And they brought Adam Copeland in. What do you think Ted Turner did 20 fucking years ago? What do you think Nitro was full of during the Attitude Era? It started with Hogan, Hall, and Nash. Then it was DiBiase. Then it was X-Pac. Then it was Bret Hart. Then it was Piper. Ultimate Warrior they brought in. They brought Macho Man in. Okay? They brought Mr. Perfect in. They brought Flair back. They had guys that were from, not, you know, from that time, but they were from WWE, some of them, most of them. They had Hacksaw. They had DCW guys. They brought in Lance Storm, and they had, what was Sandman? Hardcore Hack. They had Raven. They had guys from other places, like, and they opened the checkbook and they signed everybody. Tony Khan's not doing it like that, but he's bringing back certain guys for certain reasons, and you know, whether I agree with it or not, it's commonplace. Everybody's done it. Vince did it, signed Goldberg, got Rey Mysterio got Big Show from WCW, you know, like he Booker T when the Fed closed. I don't get caught up in that shit, man. Just as long as it tells me a good story, I don't give a shit. I really don't, honestly. I'm not a big fan of having Flair there, but if that's what Sting wants to make Sting happy, Sting's gonna go out like that, so be it. So be it. Let him sit in his corner for the next 6 months. Who gives a shit? Flair can't fight. He'll get involved, but he ain't going to fight. You know? I hear Goldberg. I'm hearing names. Listen, I don't want it to happen. I don't want to see these guys in the ring just as much as most guys, just as much as most people do. I don't get bent out of shape like the marks do, you know? Those marks. I'm a mark, too, though. I should, you know. I don't have the the sound. I have to make the sit down mark again. However, I did make a couple of sounds because my cousin Richie does. You guys know Richie. You know, anybody see Richie?
Anybody seen Richie?
Oh, that was loud. I'm sorry. Ooh. Let me turn that down. If you go. Oh, God.
Anybody seen Richie?
There you go. Holy shitballs. Yeah. Now, Richie does Span the Globe every Thursday with his co-hosts, Mark and Ben and all those guys. And him and Mark are wearing these shirts with Harley Race on the cover of the shirt, the front of the shirt. And it's got Harley Race when he cut the promo, when he put the in the NWA, when he put the bounty on Flair. He's in that like that 70s looking suit. He's got 25 grand with the 10 pounds of gold in it, like in the Halliburton, and it's open. And he's like, "I'm calling anybody out, Flair. Somebody take the damn money." And the shirt says that, which is hysterical.
Somebody take the damn money.
Yeah. So I said, "Yo, man, I gotta have that shirt." Mark's daughter makes the shirts. Once Ashley sends me all her information, I'll post it on the web page, on the Facebook page, and you guys can go like support Ashley. She can make any shirt you want, but I'm getting me a Harley Race shirt with him on the front of it.
Somebody take the damn money.
I thought about getting this shirt, though.
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You better like this hat. That's no lie.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I missed that.
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You
sure do. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, baby. So that's how it's going down. I don't get caught up in that shit. I really don't. I really don't care about the ratings. Nobody cares, right? Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. A lot of guys do, and girls, but I don't. All right, what else is going on? Ah, got to hang out with the Shining Wizards last night online. There was a 12th anniversary show last night. They had Dave LeGreca on. They had all the kids from the Mark Order podcast on. They had, let's see, who else was coming on? They had Kiwi. They had Big Dave Sturch. They had, oh my God, there were so many people. Todd Gordon checked in from, who else? I'm trying to remember this by. The Greek God Papa Don. OG Kevin Gill, the Crown Prince of PMA, who's going to grace us with his presence very soon. Spoke to Kevin. He's going to come on the podcast. I'm very excited about that. Kev's doing WrestleCade this weekend, so check out WrestleCade. It's like 3 days. I think it starts today. Not today. It starts this weekend. I'm sorry. I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I keep thinking today's a weekend. It's not. It's only Tuesday. That's what happens if you don't go to work. Who else checked in last night? There was a few people that checked in last night. There was a ton of them. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, click on the link, get the download. It's pretty dope. It was like a fucking 90s, 2000s call-in show last night. It's crazy. Love them guys. Thank you for the shout out, and thank you for always supporting us too. And 12 years, I was at the first anniversary show. I was at the 8th one, and I think I was at the 10th one. There were two or three of them, I forget, but either way, and today's Matt's birthday, so if you shout Matt out, give Shining Wizards Matt a happy birthday. And I just want to, on a side note, Matt and his beautiful wife, Ree, always post on social media that they, when it's a holiday in their home, they open up their home to everybody. Let me tell you, that is so important. To know, for people who either don't have family or doing it far away, or people who were just mentally crippled and sometimes don't want to celebrate, but in the back of their mind, they know they have somewhere to go. And my mom does the same thing too. My mom doesn't post it, but she'll tell you, like, hey, you know, if you know somebody who wants to eat, you know, she's making a 20-pound bird and there's only four of us on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my mom. My mom does the same thing, but Matt and Reed do it publicly, and I feel like that's a great thing to do. And I wanted to shout them out and thank them for that. So, what else is going on? I was going to write some shit. I mean, I did write stuff down, but I mean, stuff that I already wrote down, I covered already. We're just going to do Survivor Series after the break. And we're going to talk about Survivor Series for a little while. And then we're going to have a little gathering. anyway. All right. What else is going on? All right. So let's preview this Saturday Survivor Series. Let's get that going before we go to break. Let's see here. Pull up the Chrome gimmicks. Everything gimmicks. All right. 37th annual. Jesus Christ, I'm old. Coming from Chicago, from the Allstate Arena, where the Bulls and the Blackhawks play. If you're a fan of those sports. November 25th from Rosemont, Illinois, the old Rosemont Horizon. Let's see. 37th annual. Since 87, they've had this. The second longest running pay-per-view they've had behind WrestleMania. It's one of the promotion's five biggest events of the year. Was the Big Four, now it's Big Five. They put Money in the Bank as one of them. In a break from tradition, in 2022, the event did not include any Survivor Series or elimination matches, but was instead based on the War Games, if you will. The War Games, and I'll say that all the time, the War Games, if you will. The War Games.
You like this hat?
Sure,
you better like this hat. That's no lie.
That's what I'm saying. The War Games. Here we go. Let's see. Let's get the match that's going on here. So you got five matches right now. I'm sure they'll put some on the pre-show. 8 o'clock start. Gunther will defend his IC title, the longest reigning IC champion, thank God, against The Miz. Rhea Ripley will defend her women's title against Zoe Stark, who just has, like, muscles now all of a sudden all over the place, looking like a little ripped, looking like a Puerto Rican Petey Williams. The men's War Games, is Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and now Randall K. Orton, taking on the Judgment Day. Punishment Margasa, Finn Balor, Dirty Dominic, they call him now, JD McDonough, who I love, and Drew McIntyre, who says last night, I'm not with them, you know, I'm just joining the team. Okay, you can boo me all you want. All right there, fucking Braveheart, we got it. The Women's War Games, if you will, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch versus Damage Control, Bayley, Asuka, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane, who's back. And Carlito is fighting Santos Escobar, who turned on the LWO. That might be... Sorry, I should have read this. I don't know what the order is going to be, but that's probably going to be the opening match. That's not going to headline, you know? The men's War Game should headline. If I had to guess, it'll go Carlito versus Santos Escobar, Gunther versus The Miz, Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark, the Women's War Games, then the Men's War Games. But I wouldn't be surprised if they opened up with the Women's War Games and then go to Carlito and the three other singles matches. So that's not too bad. I'm not even going to pick winners. I'm assuming Gunther's going to retain and Rhea's going to retain. With the women, I think the face team can lose, but I think for the men's, I feel like the face team should win, and I think Santos Escobar will get that heel push, and he'll probably beat Carlito. So he can't spit in the face of anybody who's not cool, you know. So, oh boy. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to plug our friends. And then when we come back, we have a kick-ass throwback for you. A little special tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Thanksgiving tradition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks still in effect. All right. And Lord Alfred Hayes will take us to the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback.
All right, we're back. Shut the music off. All right. So before we get into our little festive party here, I want to read some tings, read some tings. This is from our friends over at whatculture.com. We've used them a ton. They're going to rank all the Survivor Series from worst to best. We'll start at number 30. 1999. Oh, shit. Here's the good. Chris Jericho and China had what was at point the ninth one of the world's best match and Y2J's best in the company after a troubled start, I guess they said here. They've had better together, but above average effort stuck out more than such on a chronic card. The bad. The Big Show's decimation of Big Boss Man's team was pathetic, and even if it made Silver more sense than late in the show, considering how hot the weekly product was, this entire car was a disaster. Assembled teams made absolutely no sense. The contests were heatless, and the show-long bait-and-switch angle sours just about everything else on the card. And speaking of that, was the ugly. The WWE scripting of Stone Cold Steve Austin to bounce off a car as a main event to write off the night was crass and unusually unprofessional. The Rattlesnake wasn't even destined to compete, but went on regardless. And Big Show's win didn't do anything to satiate the irritation. What's the next one? Okay. Number 29, 2010. The Good. Rey Mysterio and Del Rio Survivor Series is all right. One of the only decent things on the card, Natty, Neidhart, and Lay Cool had an impressive handicap battle over the Divas Championship. And that's one of the lost classics, they said. The Bad. John Cena in a deathly dull Randy Orton-Wade Barrett main event was absolutely pitiful. John's failure to commit to his time as Nexus prisoner in 2010 was nearly as big a crime as it was in SummerSlam, squashing all of them in earlier the year. Even though they were winning, they were losing. Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel defeated Santino and Vladimir Kozlov. That played out virtually silence. The ugly. It's easy to say WWE today is no different how it was 20 years ago, but the dross peppered throughout the show speaks to huge changes in the last decade. Daniel Bryan tries and fails to force something fun out of Ted DiBiase in the opener. John Morrison defeats Sheamus in a Raw mid-card match that people paid for, and Caval blew his NXT Season 2 title shot in a failed IC title match against Ziggles. Okay, what's the next one? Oh, this mic is mic's standing like I was terrible. I have to fix it. 2008 is number 28. The Good. There was a bizarre brilliance about seeing Shawn Michaels team with Rey Mysterio, Great Khali, and Crime Time in the opener. Star-heavy team of Orton and Batista. That match later in the show also offered flashes of brilliance in a terrible mid-card. Okay. The Bad. John Cena's return from injury fell into a squash victory over Chris Jericho, but ended Y2J's incredible year with a resounding thud. The Divas Survivor match saw eliminations race through in order to protect the integrity of those that simply could not wrestle. The Ugly. Triple H and Vladimir Kozlov contested to one of the worst matches in the show's history until Edge took the place of the suspiciously injured Jeff Hardy in a WWE Championship triple threat match. The Rated R Superstar was booked as a cynical opportunist, but he was, for the fans, last gasp lifesaver. Number 27, 2011. I was there at that one. So, The Good. MSG looked different than it had in the past. I'll say that for sure. But at least it upheld its reputation. Superlative atmosphere. Red Hot crowd propelled Punk and Del Rio. The title switched by beyond itself and served as a strong platform for the voice of the voiceless and to kick off his 434-day reign as champion. The Bad. Perhaps complacent due to expected success in a main event, the entire show seemed like an afterthought. Boring singles matches aren't argumented by the boring Survivor Series matches, and the Big Show's World Heavyweight title match with Mark Henry was boring. That I'll agree with. The Ugly. The Rock and Cena's Never Before, Never Again union was passable. That's true, too. Against the Miz and R-Truth, I remember that. So, number 26, 2014. That was the good was the Team Authority, Team Cena main event. They had a huge drama, even if the twist in the middle was Sting's debut for the company was that night. The bad, Nikki Bella beating AJ Lee in 33 seconds. That was the bad. And the ugly, once my computer fucking stops freezing, was Adam Rose and his fucking bunny mascot versus the Slater, Heath Slater. Slater Gator, which is Slater and Titus O'Neil. That was fucking terrible. I couldn't stand that stupid gimmick. Moving right along. Once my computer... Okay, 25. 1991. The Good. Ric Flair in a sublime form of opener, recoiling in horror at having to have face any of the baby faces across the ring from him. He was... let's see. His slimy, slithering victory vindicates his cowardice. His reptilian action, perhaps to replace the lack of King Cobra on the show, Jake Roberts' snake had been banned after sinking its teeth into Randy Savage's arm just days before. The bad. But not when it became apparent that it was a commercial for the match rather than location. A company using the event to plug an experimental Tuesday in Texas mini pay-per-view was insulting to the paying crowd, that they utilized the hottest single angle in the company, and a WWE championship reflects how desperate they were for it to succeed. The ugly. Taker's win over Hogan was absolutely abysmal. I agree, particularly considering the intention was having their rematch just days later on a Tuesday for Texas and whatever. So, 24, 2000, The Good. Typically in his role as industry top breakout star, The Rock pulls in world-class selfless display to try and salvage something from the reckless Rikishi heel turn. Doing for him what Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H couldn't work. The Great One lives up to his name yet again in a surprisingly encounter. The bad. Conversely, Stone Cold and Hunter can't. Their lethargic brawl runs and runs without any reason. Goes to a parking lot, 25 minutes, blah, 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 blah. It was bad. And the ugly. Kane and Chris Jericho couldn't summon interest in their match, and that was those. It was just really just stupid. Let's see. Moving right along. Blah, blah, blah. My computer sucks. I apologize because I don't even know if the sound even came out on this. I have to play this whole episode back, but if they didn't, then we'll have to, I might have to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll figure it out. Can we get this fucking thing going here or what? Maybe not. I should have just wrote these down. But I said, nah, the computer was working fine before. This is what happens. So, 23, 2015. The Good. New Day, Barrett, who was the king, and Sheamus were hilarious together. The bad, WWE were throwing a creative bone when Seth Rollins got injured, but the tournament for the vacant title wasn't half dull. The cash-in became a part of a grander plan, but the lack of drama was concerning. And the ugly. Undertaker yet again confirmed how fast his time has passed. The second squash of Bray Wyatt that year. The Brothers of Destruction bulldozed the Wyatt family in yet another catastrophic night of the dead man's supposed spiritual successor. Rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. All right. Moving right along. Blah, 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 blah. At this rate, we'll be going into Thanksgiving. Number 22, 1994. Oh, I remember this. The Good. Teamsters Bad Guys opener was the best in the show's history, setting a grand stage for Diesel and Shawn Michaels' breakup. The bad. Bret Hart's championship loss to Bob Backlund. remember that too. It was terrible. Any ugly. Jerry Lawler responds to chicken fight challenge from Doink and Dink with his own miniature kings. That was the Doink and Jerry Lawler versus with the midgets. I'm sorry, little people. Number 21, 2004. The good. Or Team Orton versus Team Triple H was awesome. Old school Survivor Series match. The bad. Kurt Angle and his dork mates. That was Luther Reigns and who was the other jerk off that he was with? I forget the other guy's name. They had his team against the returning John Cena, Eddie Guerrero, and the Big Show. But that was terrible. And then the ugly JBL's world title match against Booker T. That was awful. Yeah, it wasn't very good. 2012 was number 20. Number 20, 2012. The Shield's debut. That was good. The bad. One set of nerds defeat another set of nerds. Brodus Clay, Justin Gabriel, and Tenzai. It's just about the graveyard for John Laurinaitis and his fucking dumb developmental talent gimmick. And the ugly... What was Cesaro versus R-Truth doing on a pay-per-view? Or Sheamus versus The Big Show? Or any of the aforementioned nerds from the last paragraph that I just read? Number 19, 1990. I just watched this one. Taker's debut, obviously, was the good. The bad was the after a large enjoyable card, many of the results were undone by the grand finale match of Survivor, designed to give Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior an additional spotlight, getting Survivors to wrestle twice and thus lose at least once was needlessly counterproductive, even if it did provide a muscular show-closing visual. And, of course, the ugly egg in the room, the gobbledygooker, the big giant egg, which was Hector Guerrero in a chicken suit. Yeah, that was terrible. And at 15 years old, I knew that was terrible, too. Number 18, 1992. I just watched this today. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels were tasked to reframing pro wrestling for a generation of fans when pre-show changes the result in the singles match. HBK dethrones the British Bulldog ahead of the same steroid-based side exit the Ultimate Warrior took before the show, too. This was the second main event change after Ric Flair lost the title to Bret Hart. The bad. Lots of wrestlers tried hard, but few of the matches sprung to life. Payoffs were delivered in a long-standing feud between Undertaker and Kamala. Tatanka and Rick Martel and the Boss Man and Nails, but none of them were really that good. Randy Savage missed a perfect combo personified by the babyface fire, but a screwy finish against the heels doused all those flames. And the ugly, very little truth in exposing the company's ugly underbelly before the show foreshadowed worse times for worse times to come in the company. That's true. Number 17, 2017. The good. Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles put together a selling masterclass. That was a good match, actually. The bad. On the card with so many good matches, they had a Baron Corbin and Miz, and then the Shield versus New Day wasn't awful, but it was pretty disappointing. And then the ugly Triple H going over everybody. And he even, whatever. Trying to set him up for Mania, I guess, whatever. 1993, The Good. Oh, this was terrible anyway. The opener, Randy Savage proved again why Vince McMahon was mad to remove him from the ring. Old hand Marty Jannetty, along with new additions Razor Ramon, 1-2-3 Kid, Diesel, Adam Bomb, and others put in all ships, suggesting the wrestling would underpin the business, even as the company swam into red ink. The bad. Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler were supposed to use their team elimination match to pay off the months-long feud. The King's legal troubles at the time forced him out and Shawn Michaels in, creating something of a disconnect before the new hostilities were formulated between the brothers Bret and Owen to move the program on. The bad. Bam Bam Bigelow taking on the four dinks unit of the Bushwhackers and Men on a Mission was one of the worst matches in the company. And not for nothing, I watched Bam Bam Bigelow was like they tested him. He jobs to Lawrence Taylor. Then he jobs to Goldust in his debut with the Survivor Series. I just, no love for Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow. I'm just putting that out there, and I'll say it until I'm done doing this podcast. Number 15, 2001. All right, the good, the Invasion angle, one of Choppy's favorites. The bad, used to try and trigger the Hardy Boys feud, a steel cage match, putting Matt and Jeff against the Dudleys, was a fight too many for perhaps to pull off, but they tangled relentlessly over the two prior years. The fans had no love left for the combinations. I'm going to disagree because they had such chemistry, those two guys. Those two teams, so putting them in a cage, I guess, wasn't that bad. I do remember the match, though. And the ugly was the pitiful six-pack challenge, if you remember that. That was an auspicious way to resuscitate the women's title after China's exit from the company. Trish Stratus didn't inspire anything, but either way. Moving right along. Number 14, one of my favorite of all time. I don't know why it's ranked that low, but the 1989 Survivor Series. The good. Vince McMahon bled absolutely everything he could out of actor Tiny Zeus Lister, including the penultimate pay-per-view appearance of Zeus ahead of Double Bill, showing more than one match in No Holds Barred movie that spawned a rivalry with him and Hulk Hogan. Excuse me. The bad. The battle between Roddy Piper and Rick Rude was just, the teams had too much baggage. Perfect was the natural choice for the sole survivor, but looked less flawless by sneaking by the likes of Jimmy Snuka and the Bushwhackers. So that's just the supporting cast sucked. And the ugly, they panicked rebooking the main event, resulting Bobby Heenan having to replace Tully Blanchard and Andre getting eliminated in 27 seconds. Yeah, that was when Tully showed up. I think he failed I think that was the night he failed the drug test with too much booger sugar. 1997. Well, the good was the Montreal Screwjob. The bad was how bad the Screwjob forced a good man away from the thing he loved the most in the worst way possible. The Team USA, Team Canada thing was a sad ending for the Hart Foundation, right? And then the ugly, it just rewarded bad behavior. And admittingly, top star Shawn Michaels and Triple H favored their boss instead of their fellow man, and neither particularly suffered any consequences, you know? So Vince saying that Brett screwed Brett, I mean, that's still an argument to this day. Number 12, 2009, the good. The matching main events over the two top titles were a unique solution to a month without any major feuds. Both matches were enjoyable. The Undertaker's win over Jericho and John Cena's win over DX, only enhancing the stature of both champions. Kofi Kingston looked like a world beater as a sole survivor in his match against Randy Orton's team. So his push faded fast, but either way, new star was born with Kofi. We all like Kofi. The bad, Team Miz versus Team Morrison was dull. It sucked. Two of the three survivors went on to relatively quick success, though. Miz and Sheamus would be world champion within a year, and only take the third man, Drew McIntyre, about a decade to catch up. So, and the ugly, nothing overly offended on the show at all. Even the typically token gesture women's match was given, like, whatever, just whatever. It didn't make sense. It's all coming back to me now, as the song says. Number 11, 2005. This was the wasn't this the John Cena? I know it's from the Joe Louis Arena. Give me a second here. Give me one second. Blah blah blah. I think this is the Vince McMahon thing. Vince McMahon promo, right? Is this the promo where he says, "What up, my Is that the one? Maybe, I don't know. Let me see here. Maybe, I don't think so. It might be the one. I'm not sure. One second. I'm trying to find it on YouTube. I should have. 2005. I think this is it. No. Man, I thought that was the one where Vince was talking all thug. I thought that was it. I guess not. I was trying to find it. I mean, I could open up the actual pay-per-view, but that would take too long. Or will it? Nah, it's all right. But let me see. I'm just give one more shot. I'll try one more time. One more time. Yep, that's it. Hold on a second.
How you doing?
Yeah. What's good in the hood?
Just hold it down, trying to take care of business.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
That was it. Oh, man. The good was John Cena's awesome match with Kurt Angle. The bad, the Teddy Long, Eric Bischoff, general manager's match was a piece, was trash. And, of course, the ugly was Vince using the N-word. So I got to make that a soundbite, by the way. Number 10, 1988. My second favorite. The good. The fantastic tag team Survivor Series match. Arguably better than the version prior, the year prior, saving the clunky and ill-executed double turn at the end. That's with Demolition and the Powers of Pain. The bad. Only four contests on the entire show. Everything was given time. Only elimination tag headlined and deserved. Middling mid-card matches could have, it would have been smoother with five or seven seven minutes less on each match. The ugly. The number of late substitutions in jobbers. Jim Brunzel, Sam Houston, Scott Casey, and the Conquistadors didn't belong on the show, but they have been. But there have been worse card fillers. So that was, you know, if you want to say that's ugly, I mean, I call it a risk, but the matches still went okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible. Number 9, 2007. Edge's return to the conclusion of the Undertaker-Batista match. That was the good. The bad was the 10 Diva tag team match was decided by one pinfall. One pinfall. And the ugly was the display in the Great Khali's match with Hornswoggle. That was actually terrible. Come back to me now. Number 8, 2003. The good. Shawn Michaels rolls back the years with a phenomenal performance in the Team Bischoff, Team Austin battle. He was so good that he almost embarrassed the rest of the roster. And theoretically, as it turned out, he was the only one, only a year into his eight-year run, Vince bled for his art, too. The bad, the Buried Alive match. Ugh. And then the ugly. The Basham Brothers, Los Guerreros tag team title match is a criminal waste of white, hot Eddie Guerrero heat. And Goldberg still sucks in another long, two-long main event with Triple H. But we all knew that anyway. But that's very ugly. Number 7, 2006. Another DX theme here. The good. DX is teamed. Team against team. Rated RKO did nothing for the heels, but made the babyface look like the coolest dudes in the room. The bad. Batista versus Booker T for the world title. That sucked. It was 12 minutes too long. And then the ugly, the tag team with Ric Flair and his old mates against the Spirit Squad. I mean, funny, but I mean, whatever. Just not a good look, as they say in the street. Number 6, 1996, the good. Relying on big performers for big matches, Shawn Michaels carried Sid to his best, which is true. Undertaker and Mankind beat the shit out of each other. Bret Hart and Stone Cold assembled one of the best contests in company history. And it's Madison Square Garden, baby. That's the best aid you need. I'm being partial, but whatever. The bad, throwing out the elimination match due to mass disqualification. Anytime you have, anytime an elimination match ends in any kind of shenanigans, whether it's a disqualification, a count out, that puts, it kills any kind of momentum, any kind. The Ugly was, the Taker was the greatest mystery partner payoff ever in 1990. Jake Roberts and Jimmy Snuka didn't physically belong on his card, nor did a dangerously overweight Yokozuna. Flash Funk's tepid debut in the middle of this aforementioned DQ rush job rather tragically foreshadowed his WWE career. Flash, you are funky. All right. 87 is number 5. I love 87. The show was devised as an almighty fuck you to Starrcade that year, obviously. Hogan with the bad. Hogan must pose was a constant Vince McMahon directive, according to Bruce Pritchard. I read that recently. I didn't know that was like a thing. Like, I thought Hogan just did it for Hogan being Hogan. I didn't know that was like a Bruce Pritchard I didn't know that was a Vince McMahon thing orchestrated by Bruce. I mean, you know, by Vince. I didn't know. And Bruce Pritchard actually said it on his podcast, and I was like, Jesus, I how many times have you seen that? I mean, I just watched a match from, I want to say, 86, 87. It was Saturday Night's Main Event, and it was Hogan versus Hercules Hernandez, and Slick had just sold Hercules. This is before Bobby Heenan sold him for a slave, but to DiBiase. But Slick was Hercules' original manager, and he sold the rights to him for Bobby Heenan. And one of the perks was he automatically gets a title shot. Like, as soon as Bobby Heenan signs him, he gets a title shot. But the posing, Hogan posed for everything, man. He posed for promos. He posed for interviews, like. He posed for everything. Crazy, right? Crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah, but this was like a fuck you to Starrcade, though, that year. They were trying to compete. But whatever, man. Anyway, moving right along. Let's get into this. And then the Ugly. It says here... Though everything the Jumping Bomb Angels did delighted the crowd, the match fell apart in the hands of an aging Fabulous Moolah and her listless cronies. Yeah. I got to talk to that one Jumping Bomb Angel that the boys are cool with, and she has a restaurant. All right, number 4, 2002. I don't know why this is ranked so high. I don't like the Elimination Chamber. It's my least favorite gimmick. It's the debut of the Elimination Chamber. And it was the perfect. It says for the good. It was a perfect save for Triple H's throat getting crushed by Rob Van Dam, Van Dam's shins earlier. The bad, Big Show and Shawn Michaels winning the WWE championships didn't really jive, and then the Ugly, not a lot, but though Brock Lesnar's undefeated streak ending in 4-18 initially seemed rather tragic. I agree with that too. Number 3, 2016, The Good. Brock versus Goldberg was utterly sublime, brave, bold, and entirely without precedent. The manner in which WCW icon polished off WWE's most protected entity was peerless reintroduction of the future WWE Hall of Famer. Vindicating the future overuse of the idea of Raw versus SmackDown men's main event was outstanding, I agree. The hour-long contemporary classic made use of all key storylines and performers, putting over eventual winners Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt as genuine survivors. The women's equivalent wasn't half bad either. The bad, though it should have echoed the beloved tag classics from 87 90, in 98, the rushed 2016 failed to make the most of two loaded double divisions. A mid-card between The Miz and Sami Zayn underperformed on measured expectations. So, and then the bad. Brian Kendrick and Kalisto should have not have gone 12 minutes. The cruiserweight division was already in trouble. Number two, 1998, the Deadly Game. That's the good. The Deadly Game Championship Tournament is Vince Russo's finest contribution to professional wrestling, in their opinion. Intricate in the extreme during the embryonic stages of his Crash TV philosophy, the layers of the ever-thickening plot remain admirable to this day. Russo was often credited for his ability to find something for characters to be doing, and this event speaks to that. Huge events are afoot and top of the card. They are required and moving parts to function effectively in order for incomparable twists to feel very satisfying. The matches, without exception, are nothing to write home about. And then the ugly, the tag team championship triple threat between the New Age Outlaws, the Headbangers, and D'Lo and Mark Henry is only there to give the crowd a breather. Okay, so, all right. And the number one greatest Survivor Series of all time, which I watched today, 1995, and I disagree, but I liked it. The good. Diesel and Bret Hart, great chemistry. I agree there. For the wild card match, positioning heels versus baby faces was another one. The women's elimination match, Alundra Blaze, was good. With Aja Khan, that was good. The bad, I mentioned this before, Goldust and Bam Bam, labored singles match designed to solely get the Bizarre One over. It achieves its aim in the most boring match ever. The Beast from the East never appeared on a pay-per-view for the company ever again. Yeah, no shit. And then the ugly. Nothing of note outside of the odd botched and women's match. The Bill Clinton skit was fucking horrible, too. There was a few of them. So that was your worst or best. I'd flip a few of them around, but interesting, what culture always comes correct with their theories. And those guys are from overseas, so I like their take on certain things. So, all right. With that being said, let's see here. I have a little thing going on down. So, let me lower this before I blow your ears out. The gimmicks are all messed up, so I apologize for the audio. I'm trying to get it to work. It took me 3 hours to even hook this up again. So, all right. Guys, have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. Please don't go to Walmart and trample people on Black Friday for a TV. Don't get arrested, please. And watch plenty of wrestling. Enjoy your football games. Enjoy your families. Be thankful. Be mindful. Prayers to people who can't be with us and who are no longer with us. Friends and family. Have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. See you guys soon. Same bad time. Same bad channel. Santa Claus is coming. Say goodnight, Gracie.